Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today we celebrate this feast of the Ascension of our Lord, in which we celebrate that historical moment when our Lord ascended by his own power, body and soul, up into heaven. So it was 40 days that our Lord spent here on earth after his resurrection, and the 40th day, the day of his ascension, was traditionally held to be Thursday, May 5th. And during that time of his 40 days, he was not manifesting the glory of his resurrection. Okay, this is what the Catechism teaches in paragraph 659. It says, but during the 40 days when he eats and drinks familiarly with his disciples and teaches them about the kingdom, his glory remains veiled under the appearance of ordinary humanity. So even after our Lord's resurrection, he was not walking around in splendor as the apostles saw, and the chosen three, on Mount Tabor. Okay, but he had an ordinary human appearance, with the exception of the wounds, right? He still bore the wounds, although they were not bleeding, and of course there was no pain. So he had all the properties of a glorified body, but he wasn't, the glory was still veiled to the sight of those who saw him. And so on the 40th day, Christ leads his apostles out first to Bethany and then to Mount Olivet. And this is recorded by St. Luke, the historian. Okay. And in chapter 24, at the end of Luke's gospel, he mentions that they first go to Bethany. And it's in the Acts of the Apostles that he talks about them returning from Mount Olivet, which is where Christ ascended from. So it's kind of presumed that our Lord went first to Bethany to greet Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, which is where their home was, and also to bring them as well to Mount Olivet so that they would be able to witness the ascension into heaven and to share in his triumph, okay, to have that vision and consolation of our Lord ascending into heaven. And so at Mount Olivet, as it's recorded, our Lord continues to instruct them and promises to send once again the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And it's beautiful, the commentary of Cornelius Lapide on the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, where he poses the question, what were the last sweet words exchanged between Christ and his mother before ascending into heaven? What about their last embrace? And he answers that those questions by quoting St. Augustine, who says, contemplare possumus, narrare nequimus. These things are to be contemplated, but not to be recorded. We can't put them into words, but we can certainly meditate on them and draw fruit from them. And so then, after instructing them, our Lord then raises his hands in blessing, gives them his final blessing. And again, there is a tradition that our Lord at this point was blessing in the form of the cross. So that blessing in the form of the cross that we still have today has come from that moment, the blessing of Christ. And he ascends glorious into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. And from there, he governs his church and gradually harvests it and gathers it to himself. Okay, so there is the heavenly sickle being wielded on a daily basis, right? In this world, there is wheat and chaff growing together. And every day from heaven, that sickle is wielded, and there's a partial harvest gathered. And the wheat and the chaff are separated. It's certainly above 100,000 deaths a day throughout the world. I don't remember the exact number, but I do remember it's above 100,000. Okay, and so our Lord is gradually harvesting and gathering to himself the wheat into his barn. So that's the historical moment of the ascension, but there's also the theological consideration. Okay, namely that Christ, our head, has preceded us. Okay, we are his members, we are his body, and our head has already brought our human nature into heaven. So it's kind of like we have one foot in the door, or you could say we have one head in the door. This is where the church gets its phrase, already, but not yet. Okay, our humanity is already in heaven, and we already have a certain participation in that, because we are united to Christ by grace. And so we already have this pledge of eternal life, and this is where the moral consideration comes into play, okay? That virtue of hope, that we now have certain hope in the promises of Christ, that those who believe in him and remain faithful to the end will follow him, body and soul, into heaven. And so this is all wonderful food for meditation during today's feast, and to renew our hope in eternal life, and to do as the scripture says, keep our eyes fixed on heaven, fixed on Christ, the perfecter of our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.